Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1129. This is your host, Danny Pena, all the way from Los Angeles. And also joining me for this episode, all the way from Switzerland, is the one and only Pete. What's going on, Pete?
Hey, what's up, everybody? What's up? How you doing?
Good, man. How's everything? I see you. Look, I'm drinking coffee, and Pete is the opposite. He's drinking some liquor, man. Right?
Make it sound so bad. Wow. It's like, oh, you're drinking coffee. Peter's getting drunk.
It's insane, man.
No, uh-huh. It's a European thing. Maybe it's a hospitality thing. It's called an Aperol Spritz. It's Aperol with Prosecco and a little splash of club soda. So it's pretty good.
Nice. It looks delicious. Very, very much, man. So, we have a couple topics here, and let's go for it, man. So head over to GamertagRadio.com, listen to our past episodes, and you can also find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for Gamertag Radio, subscribe, follow us, post a review, and if you can, you know, share it with your friends. Let them know about GTR, man. We've been podcasting now for a very long time. Look at that, 1,129 episodes.
That's insane.
Completely insane.
That's completely wild. Every time I look at the number, it's like we go to record, I go to edit the title in the Twitch stream, and it's like, Jesus Christ. It's a lot. It's massive. It's huge. And it's funny because you see all the other podcasts, you know, regardless of the genre, right? And you know, I think what was it something you said? I think it was on your Bright Live event of last week that you know, most don't even get to 10. So, you know, if you've gotten to like 100 or 200, you should be very, very proud. Right. And it's just a remarkable, you know, amount of effort. And, you know, it's wild. Every time I look at the show episode notes, it's just like episode 1129. It's just a lot. It's wild.
It's a lot, man. And technically we have way more than that because there's episodes throughout the years since 05 to now. When we went to like E3, PAX, or any other event, I usually don't put numbers on that at all. And it will be multiple episodes during that week. You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, E3 was, 50-something episodes? The last yep. E3 we went to, you know? Yep. So it's a lot.
The last couple we did 50-plus, and it's funny, the last one, not to digress or change the subject or the topic, but it was insane on the last one that we all went to. Obviously Paris had, you know, work things that he had to deal with. So we were almost like a man down, yet we still were able to match the effort and come out with the right number, of 50 plus episodes. And the fact that we were able to do that two or three E3s in a row.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to lie. I do kind of miss that struggle / hustle of being at those live events. It's not something you really expect from a podcast, right? You typically think of a podcast and it's like 2-3 people sitting in a room, either all together like us, we're virtual, we're separated. We're, you know, that's how we've done the show for so many years. But to think that we go out and we were able to knock out 50 plus episodes, it's just insane. It's just wild.
And
part of me does miss that because, you know, that's part of the shtick, right? That's part of the Gamertag Radio hustle, right? So hopefully in the near future, we'll be seeing some more live events coming soon, either physical or virtual. And, you know, hey, again, I'm in the EU. So if there's any developers or publishers that are looking for coverage, Gamertag Radio's in Europe. We're in your time zone.
Yeah.
Hit us up.
Gamescom, right? Gamescom is the closest one for you, right?
It's not like it's a country away. I could just jump on the train and I'm there in a few hours.
Yeah.
Okay. It's much cheaper than airfare. I'll make it easy for you.
Yeah. I would love to go with it to Germany. That's like one place I'm so curious to visit.
I was hoping so. You were going to say Switzerland, but it's okay. You can go to Germany. It's okay. We don't want you.
No, I'll go to Switzerland too.
No. It's fine. Good. Take your ass to Germany. We'll keep Switzerland to ourselves.
You know, before we start, I've been watching a lot of like tiny houses with Ree. Just curious, because we want to like just go on the trip, rent one of those like Airbnb tiny houses, and just for experience, you know, in the middle of nowhere, just to explore. I want to do that, man, especially in Europe, New Zealand, especially, and also Australia. Like, yeah, we'll see. Hopefully we could do that one day in the future. I would love to do that.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. All right, everyone. If you would like to contact us, you know, have questions, fan mail, comments, feedback, whatever, let's go for it. This is how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so Pete, we have a very important topic for you because, you know, you're a huge PUBG fan. So, there is a spinoff PUBG that's coming out in the future, and it's going to be a Western theme. Your thoughts about this, man? Are you excited? Do you feel this is like the right type of theme for this game? Or you want something brand new? What are your thoughts about this, man?
All right, so if you know me, you know I have a love-hate relationship with PUBG, right? It started, 3+ years ago when originally known as Blue Hole, and Brendan Green came out with, you know, the industry-changing video game known as PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Now they've changed their name of their company to Krafton. They've, you know, there's a minority stake from Tencent, which has helped because now that they're infusing much needed money and resources into the company, which allows them to now, allows them to start to spread out and create more opportunities or more entities under the title. The problem has, and especially from the NA side, the North American side, we've seen a large decline in player base. Whereas the player base in the Asia side, where there's Korea, Japan, China, has exploded, not just here, but as well as in the mobile game. The mobile game just surpassed like some record number, and it's just amazing. It's funny, there's people at my job that actually have asked me, do you play the mobile game? And it's somebody that, you know, I'm close with at work, and I know, you know, she plays, you know, she's used to play, you know, World of Warcraft and stuff like that. But to hear that she plays, you know, PUBG mobile on her mobile phone, I was just like, you're even cooler now because you do this. But, you know, it just goes to show the breadth of which, you know, Krafton has done with this title. So now with Project Cowboy, which is what it's called, initially, we don't know what it's going to be. We still don't know if it's going to be a standalone battle royale game or if it's going to be a totally different extension of what PUBG has been. But it goes to show what they're doing there. We know that we saw Callisto Protocol, a year ago or 2 years ago at the Game Awards. That was it was an unknown game from Krafton. Everybody thought it was going to be the next PUBG 2.0, but it actually ends up, it's going to be a third-person horror game. Now, they're also working on a top-down tactical shooter known as Thunder Tier 1, which nobody knows what it's going to be. The thing is, for me, with the decline in the North American player base and all of the people that are still continued fans of the game, whether it's as a viewer or as a player, the big complaint has been that Krafton hasn't truly supported what the gamers really want. They've continued to do, DLC and microtransactions in the form of, you know, like this in season 11, which is what we're looking at now. It's like the slumber party, you know, pajama party is the theme. And it's like, okay, you could be putting effort, money, and time towards bigger, better things for the PUBG game in and of itself. One of those being they used to do Cowboys and Indians, I think is what it's called. It was just Cowboys. where they shrunk the map down and you were limited to guns that were, you know, only available in that time period, right? So you had like the 45, you had the Tommy gun, you had the Winchester 45, right? Or the Winchester 94, sorry, the not bolt action, but it's like a, it's a rifle. And it seems like that is what they're doing, where they're actually splitting out, like kind of like a fork of PUBG to be an action shooter or an open world shooter for PC and console that expands on solely the Wild West experience, right? So we're going to be looking at maybe bow and arrows. We're going to be looking at, you know, the vault, you know, the 1911, you know, 45 ACP gun. We're going to be looking at the Winchester 94 all over again. Will we see horses? Will we see bow and arrows? Because we know there's a crossbow in the game. Will we see bow and arrows now? You know, me personally, I would much rather see them focus on PUBG 2.0, which we know is already in the works. We've already seen this either from announcements or on their Reddit from leaks from player IGN on Twitter, who's one of the bigger, you know, leakers for the title. I would much rather see them personally, you know, investing the resources for PUBG directly, the game itself, the Battle Royale. I'd much rather see them focus on PUBG 2.0. But it seems that Krafton, along with this influx of money and resources from Tencent, seems to be expanding the PUBG universe, not just for the PUBG Battle Royale game, but for other things. Like I mentioned earlier, we've got the open world shooter, which is this Project Cowboy. We also have the new state, which is the new mobile game that they just announced, what, 2 weeks ago? So, And they also have another game. Again, I mentioned Callisto Project, which is the third-person horror, and they have another one, which there's not a lot of words. There's not a lot of talk on right now. There's not a lot of information on there. So, again, me personally, I would love to see a 2.0 version of it. Anybody that knows me, I'm, you know, Monday through Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm on PUBG if I can, and I'd love to see them do that. I'm going to be critical because this is, like, Paris is known for Destiny. I'm known for PUBG, and I would love to see a bigger, better PUBG. And whether they're able to do this, they said it's going to be in 2022 when we see PUBG 2.0. I don't know if they're going to, if this announcement of Project Cowboy and all the other stuff is going to impact this in a way, in any way, shape, or form, or if it's just a fork off, or it's just separate development teams. They did just recently make an acquisition of another development team in Asia. So I'm curious, and I hope that this is just going to expand the PUBG universe and make it more palatable to players in NA.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm with you with this, Pete. I want to see a new PUBG. I think a totally brand new game. Because, you know, Warzone, Apex, even Fortnite, those games has been changing throughout the years, man. And I know there's been changing with PUBG, but I think it's time to just do something new with the game and completely do something different, release something that has never been done before, because PUBG, in my opinion, was the one that started everything with Battle Royale, and I feel like other companies mastered that craft, mastered that genre, and made it the experience even better. You know, Apex is not exactly the same like the other games, or Fortnite is totally different. Like all those games are totally different from each other, right? And I think that's what PUBG. We need to see something like that in the future with that game. You know, like you said, there is an audience outside of North America, Korea, China, etc., right?
EU as well. EU, but many of the championship teams. I mean, you've seen, you know, TSM abandoned the NA team for PUBG, and they've dedicated on just an EU team. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got all the other ones. You got Cloud9, you know, FaZe. All of the major esports teams have a PUBG contingent, and, you know, obviously there's a thing for it. Tiggleton, you know, from South Africa, he's on Susquehanna Sonics. I always try to butcher. I always butcher that name when I try to do it. But they just won the PUBG Championship just a few weeks ago. $1.2 million in prize money for that team alone. So there is money, there is effort, there is a desire to watch that. You know, we've got the global championships getting ready to go on right now, just in the coming, I think it's like next week that it starts, or just a few days. So it's not what people would consider a dead game, right? So
there's
people looking to watch the game. Hell, I watch it when I've got time. So, you know, there is a market for that. So it's time, like you said, they were the innovators for this, right? You know, they are what spawned Fortnites and Apexes and Warzones. So now what is it? It's time to regroup, redevelop, and just come up with a new battle royale that takes over the genre. Takes over its 100%. Rightful place as the top dog. Yeah, I said it. 100%
that. But by the way, Pete, before we go to the next topic, two things. One is a shout out to Shaq Eye Gear for sending me a nice package. They sent me like a hoodie and a couple of things and these new glasses. I've been wearing the white ones, the white and red. This one is black and blue. This is the one that Paris has. This is one that you have too, right?
The same black one? And blue? I believe so.
Boom. Oh, is it totally black? Oh,
no. These are like gray and they're like see-through.
Really? Mine's just black. But I'm loving this, man. I got so used to the white ones, but I'm really enjoying the black one big time, man. You know, like the other day I went to downtown Burbank, had these on, was looking smooth, you know, and I've been playing a lot of Knockout City with this on too. Knockout nice. City, they came out for Xbox and PC. We're going to be talking about that later on. But if you would like to get a new glasses, if you want to get it, either the white ones or the black ones that we have, go right now to ShaqEyeGear.com and put promo code GTR. This is an exclusive promo code. You're not going to find this anywhere else, only here in GTR. Go for it right now and take advantages, man. So, Pete, I know you've been having this for a couple of weeks. How are you liking it so far, man, before we go to the next topic?
I love them. I know I just put them on. I work in IT, so I'm always, with a screen in my face, whether it's my monitors at home, monitors at work, mobile phone, iPads, etc. So I love the way I could put these on and not have to worry about the blue light impacting or affecting my eyesight, making my eyes tired at the end of the day. I let the natural exhaustion take care of that. But I think they're a great piece of eye gear. Shout out to Shaq Eye Gear for sending these out and sponsoring GTR.
Yeah, shout out to them, man. All right, so let's go to the next topic here. I mean, look, I'm not surprised about this at all. Let's see what P has to say about this too. But it's confirmed that Xbox and Bethesda are going to be hosting a joint conference in a few weeks together instead of having two separate conferences. You know, usually pre-pandemic, when all this was happening, with E3 and everything, right? There was always an Xbox conference, a press conference, and then there was like a Bethesda one too. But now that Microsoft acquired Bethesda, now they're going to be together and making announcements and everything. And look, I'm not surprised. I think that's the right way to do it instead of having it separate. And I think that will confuse the viewers, the consumers by doing that. But having it together, I think it's going to be a lot easier for... And probably also will get people even more excited about all these new games coming out in the future, man. Pete, what do you think about this, man? This is like an official. It's happening in the future in a few weeks, according to this article on videogameschronicle.com. So what are you thought about that, of them, both companies having joint conference instead of having it separate? I'm not surprised about this, but...
I'm not surprised at all either. And if you think about it, it makes sense. With the acquisition fully completed, Bethesda is a full-fledged member of Microsoft. So why not merge all of that together? Why separate them? And as I mentioned in previous shows, why allow that? Why allow Bethesda to potentially steal any thunder from Microsoft, its parent company? Right. So you don't do that. You don't want to do that. You do want them to have their own moment to shine. But in doing so, you take away any potential surprises or any potential boom in marketing or exposure for Microsoft, the parent company. So what do? Mm-hmm. All you do is you just fold it in and you make the Xbox, you make the Xbox show that much bigger. You make the Microsoft game show that much bigger, right? And you think about it, you go from 15 to 23 total studios. You've got a lot of stuff to work with right there. That's a lot, you know? And if you really think about it, because everybody thinks, oh, it's just Bethesda. No, they didn't just buy Bethesda. They bought the parent company, ZeniMax, which means they have Bethesda, they have id, they have ZeniMax Online Studios, Arcane, Machine Games, Tango, Alpha Dog, and Roadhouse. So yeah, and then on top of that, if we're going to talk the Starfield thing, Paris and I said it last show, the last time that all three of us were here on Gamertag Radio, it's not coming until 22. And, you know, the tweet from Jason Schreier said that late 2022 is what he's hearing from his sources, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I mean,
yeah, I know it's exclusive. I've been saying it for a while too.
We talked about this a while ago. Yeah, it's not coming out until 2022. And if you think it's going to come out in 2021, think about what else is coming in 21. And do you really think Microsoft wants to allow any other potential title to outshadow or even encroach on the marketing for Halo Infinite? No. The timeline for Microsoft for 2021 is Halo. It is all Halo Infinite. And there's no way, even if it was potentially ready for 21, there's no way that you could allow your own internal title, because at this point, Starfield is an internal title to Microsoft. There's no way you let another title take up that any potential shine, because we know the shine that we saw last year forced them to regroup and re-engage with everything to push Infinite to 21. So there's no way Microsoft allows that.
Yeah. Look, I know we've been saying this since last September. We've been saying that Starfield is going to be exclusive for Xbox. A lot of people were calling me crazy. They were making fun of me. And also Paris, or even you, P. People were like, nah, man, they can't do that. They're taking away games from gamers, you know? Like, come on. Come on. Microsoft acquired the company. Of course, if a company acquires them, it's going to be exclusive for that console, for that subscription service. Same thing that we've seen with Netflix and Disney. They have those exclusive series, exclusive movies only for the service. It's the same thing we're going to see with Xbox, you know? Sony acquired Insomniac. Why are they going to have them develop other games, like the company develop other games for other competitors like Xbox and Nintendo, etc., right? Nah, look, this is part of the business. We knew this was going to happen. I'm excited to see what they're going to announce finally in a couple weeks. When is the E3? It's like 4 weeks, right? 3 weeks or so?
What are we, May
it's June.
23rd?
It's like around June 10th, yep. Which we're going to be talking about Summer weeks. Game Fest. Yeah, Summer Game Fest with Jeff Keighley. Actually, I read this interview. He was on, again, Video Games Chronicle. Great website, by the way. He said something during the interview that got me thinking, and I want to get your opinion about this. He says fans should be, and I quote, excited but cautious for this summer's games blowout. So he's talking about all the announcements that is coming out during the Summer Game Fest. He's excited, but at the same time, it's not going to be like previous years, amazing announcements, everything like that. And I think it's because of we're still in the middle of the pandemic, Pete. You know, there's going to be companies that I feel like they're going to take their time to develop all these games. And then in the future, we're finally going to see some announcements from the companies and it's going to come out. But I think this year we should be excited, but nothing mind-blowing, I think, for 2021, man. You know, I think the only game that I can think of as of right now that we know is coming out this year is Halo Infinite so far, you know. But besides that, I don't know if there's going to be anything major for companies. They're being very careful, very, very careful if they're going to announce or release a game this year. You know, a lot of developers have been working from home. You know what I'm saying? So I think next year, that's where we're going to see bigger AAA games in the future. You know, I don't see that happening here. And like you said, Starfield, that's the best time to come to release it next year, man. You know, I know the game's been ready for a while, but you know, ever since Cyberpunk 2077, companies are being really careful. They don't want to go through that crap, man, with that controversy and everything. You know what I'm saying? So do you think it's that game is still going to be releasing at the end of next year or spring of next year, in your opinion? Starfield.
I'm going to say holiday release because you want to maximize the punch with which that launches with. Think about it. This is a game. This is their first new IP in 15 years or something like that, 20 years. There's first and foremost, Bethesda has a specific strategy, and they've been in the business long enough. They know how to market their game. But with respects to the entire E3, for what Jeff Keighley was talking about, you've got what 20, no 30 total different partners for the Summer Game Fest stuff that he was talking about. But the biggest game on everybody's lips, whether they want to admit it or not, is what we're going to see from Halo. Regardless of your platform preference, everybody has eyes on that title, right? Outside of that, though, we're finally seeing some of these studios step back because, like you said, we saw what happened with Cyberpunk 2077. Developers and publishers are a little more hesitant to force titles to hit a specific deadline for launch because although Cyberpunk 27 had an amazing launch from a financial perspective, having to kick back $3+ million in refunds is not something that any company wants to do. So when you look at some of these titles, you look at some of these developers, you know, obviously Ubisoft has their own UB Forward event, you know, I can't expect a lot of companies to try to push out their max title, especially in 21. We haven't heard or seen a lot from Sony for new games coming out in 2021. You know?
Yeah, I think it's only Returnal. That was earlier announced. And also Ratchet & Clank, which I'm very excited about that game.
Right,
that to me is the top game for me for that's coming out for PS5.
And when does that game come out?
In June. But we don't know what's coming out for winter, like holiday season. We don't know yet. Is it going to be Horizon? Is it going to be God of War? I personally think those two games is coming out next year, and we're probably going to get something else that's coming out around that time. Or just stick with like their previous formula, just have marketing campaigns, or maybe have something from a third-party company and release it during the holidays if these games are not finished. And release those games in the future, either during spring or holiday. I think that it's going to sell no matter, regardless, it's going to sell whenever it comes out. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't have to come out winter of 2021.
Well, sales figures aren't, I think sales figures for most of their big IPs are not big concerns for Sony when you think about it in the grand scheme of things. But outside of Returnal and Ratchet & Clank, Ratchet & Clank is coming out in June and it's going to sell like gangbusters. Don't get it twisted. That is going to be, if not already, in many people's eyes, game of the year without it even coming out and launching yet. Okay. But what happens in holiday of later this year when Microsoft launches Halo Infinite, that is the only other major AAA title in my mind that could potentially usurp that, but it has a very, very steep hill to climb if Halo is going to take off, if Halo is going to be successful right now in taking over potential game of the year from that. We have some people that are already talking of other titles that have already come out. Oh, it's already game of the year. I think it's very premature to be talking about that the first 3 or 4 months, you know, but again, you know, people are talking about Resident Evil Village as a game of the year.
I love horror games. I put that game up there. It's contender. I won't say contender. Game of the year,
exactly.
But it's contender.
It's a contender. But as soon as Ratchet & Clank launches, people are going to forget about Resident Evil Village. And the thing is going you know, and fine, I'll come out on this. I'll stand on the ledge for this one. People are going to forget about Resident Evil Village. But the question is going to be, can and will it hold up when Halo Infinite. And I'm not trying to say this as a Halo fanboy. I think Halo is going to have a much steeper hill to climb to try to usurp Ratchet and Clank's Game of the Year. Granted, we haven't played them. I know some people may have. But some, I just don't think that, I think Ratchet and Clank is going to be the favorite for winning Game of the Year unless somebody drops something that nobody is aware of that completely comes out of left field. I think right now we're looking at, Game of the Year is Ratchet and Clank and probably Halo Infinite as a close second.
Don't sleep on Psychonauts 2. That game is coming out this year. And you got to see it behind closed doors.
I got to see it a year and a half ago. But that was a year and a half after, you got all of 2020, whether you want to call it a wash or not. But that's development time. That's baking time. That's when you put stuff in the oven and you let it cook or burn it if you're Khalif.
That's foul.
But that's damn, when that,
so you, cold.
Hey, I gotta support my brother, bro. I gotta support Paris. But that's when you let stuff cook in the oven, you let it bake, and that's how games get better. That's how games launch in a much better state, and you don't have to worry about what we've seen over the last few years with games coming out prematurely. So let's wait and see. June, July, when Ratchet and Clank comes out, it's going to flip everybody's, I'm already looking at websites here trying to figure out how I'm going to get a PS5 in the house. It's going to be a very, very difficult time for a lot of games coming the holiday end of the year when it comes to talking about Game of the Year. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. You know what? We're going to go to the next topic, and I want to talk to P about this. So Knockout City, it came out finally. It's available on every platform: PC, Nintendo Switch, Xbox, PS5, PS4, all that. So, Pete, have you seen videos or anything about this game at all? Like, this game just came out recently. It's also available on Xbox Game Pass for PC and also for Xbox. But have you seen the video?
I have seen some. I don't know
much.
I don't know much. Right? There was another game that EA came out with. We all played. Actually, no, sorry. It was Ubisoft. We played it at E3 a year and a half ago. Kind of reminds me of what this game is like. It's kind of like Dodgeball.
Okay.
It kind of reminds me. The title looks like Jet Set Radio. It's kind of like Jet Set Radio meets Dodgeball.
But it's running. It's not no roller skates or anything.
No. I get that. But you don't understand what I'm saying, right? Like the art, the style, etc., looks like that, and it's basically dodgeball at the end of the day.
Yeah. So there's different characters that you could get, and also you can unlock like a lot of cosmetics and shirts and glasses and everything, right? So that's cool. And I know I think this actually starting tomorrow. By the time this episode comes out, that's when the season one unlocks, so you could play league play. You can also get together with crews. I actually created a crew of Gamer Tag Radio if you guys want to join. And the more that we play, the more stats we'll get. We'll get more XP, more stuff to unlock. It's really, really cool. So you could play it's 3v3. There are other modes that you could play. There's also another one that once you reach level 5, you could do 1v1 also. So every round, it changes. Random levels, random special weapon. So for example, there might be a ball that will pop up for everybody that it will be like think of it as like three balls. You will get three balls, so that's the special power. You collect that, so you can shoot three times. There's other ones of like you could convert and the opposite team, like the enemy, whatever, you could turn it into a ball. You could use that, you could throw him outside of the stage. Or you could also attack somebody else with that. Because sometimes it's hard to find balls around the stage. So that's another way for you to get one and attack the opposite team. So it's really, really fun, Pete. Like I can even see EA doing like esports and kind of like the level of like Rocket League, that type of thing, where it's just fun. You don't need to have a gun to actually do like an esports game. You know what I'm saying? So it's very, very competitive, very fast paced. It's super, super fun, man. So the good thing about this is there's crossplay, cross progression. So it doesn't matter which version you have. You just log in and you can still continue using those same stats for your character, for your profile. So if you have Xbox Game Pass, I highly, highly recommend for you to try this out, man. Now, it like you said, P, is dodgeball. So you could throw the ball at me. I could grab that, catch it, and throw it back to you. So I could get that point. You could also do dodge and dodge moves, which helps you not get hurt. But the thing is, sometimes there might be multiple people that could actually attack you at the same time. So there's no way for you to like run away or block. You know what I'm saying? So it's really, really entertaining. So, so much fun, man. Like, I highly, highly recommend. Actually, what I'm going to do, I'm probably going to like stream it one of these days too, man, on here on Twitch for everybody to check it out, man. It's really, really fun. Really, really fun. But you should check it out, man. It's, you know, I have Game Pass. Hey, try it out, man. It's right there available, man. And I know the game overall, I think it's like, I think it's $29.99. Let me double check. I think it is double. Let me see. Knockout City price. It's very cheap. Actually, $20 on Steam. You could go right now. $20. $19.99. The Block Party Edition. There you go. So, what do you think, Pete? Do you see this game something you will pick up? Looks a lot of fun.
It looks like fun. I just don't know if $20 is worth the spend on a title like this. I need to play it more. You know, okay. So I would have to play it to be able to say, you know, whether it's worth a $20 investment on it.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, go on my Twitter account. I've been posting videos of like my gameplay and everything, man. And I see Ka talking smack. I see the guys that kind of funny talking smack. I'm like, yo, man, we could do this. I could go in and play against you guys, man. You know, I get a crew and play online. Man. It's very, very challenging.
So the question I would have out there for Knockout City is it crossplay enabled? Can I play?
Yeah, I just mentioned that.
If I wanted to, let's say, pick it up on my Switch, I could play you on Xbox, or I could play Paris on PlayStation 4, or I could play anybody else on PC. It wouldn't make a difference.
Yeah. And it has voice chat. So the voice chat feature, you could also have it as like just only for the team or for the group that's available in the game.
Okay.
So I prefer to have it just team because I don't want the opposite team to hear our conversations. You know what I'm saying? But you could do that. You could also go to the main menu and bring your friends and just practice. You could do that too.
Okay.
There until you go to the matchmaking and just find another team. So what I'm going to do is I want to start playing league play to see what's the difference because it's not unlocked yet.
Right.
But it is going to be unlocked now starting Monday. That's when the whole first season is going to come out. And they're also adding new modes, new stuff every time. So the game is still going to be fresh with new content every single time, man. So yeah, you definitely got to check it out. For me, it's highly recommended. It's one of those like surprise games, in my opinion, for me, for this year. Yeah.
If it has cross platforms, does it have cross or shared progression between platforms?
I did mention that. Sorry.
I was watching videos while we were playing, while we were talking. So I may have missed that.
No, it's all good. But I love the announcer too in the game, which is really cool. It'll tell you when, like, okay, the other team is like winning or it's a tie. Like it's like when you play Halo, Pete, like you hear the announcer
right
in the game, like it hypes you up, like, oh, double man, it's getting close. Double kill. Yeah. So you'll see that. And it'll tell you, like, oh, man, so-and-so assist. Okay, knockout, this and this and that. Yo, dude, when you hit them with that ball, boom, and they, like, lose. Oh, my God, that's, like, so satisfying, man. It's, like, so dope. So dope. So, yeah, check it out. It's out, available right now for every console out there, every version, Steam, Game Pass, PlayStation. Oh, check it out. Knockout City. So shout out to EA for sending me a code. I actually started playing this before it came out, and I had to wait I had to wait until it was officially launched because we only had like a certain amount of hours to play. But now it's available for everyone. Yo, let me know if you guys have it. Love to play with everybody, man. Game is very, very fun. All right, so Pete, we have one voicemail here. You ready for fan mail or what?
Let's do it.
All right, here goes. And it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Right. So I'm going to play. Shout out to Keon always sending us questions, man. I always save his questions just in case, you know, we need more in the future. All right, so here goes. This is for him. We're going to play right now.
What's going on, Gamertag Radio? Shout out to you, Danny. Shout out to you, Paris. And what's going on, P-Rock? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just had a quick question for you guys. Now that we are pretty much in the E3 season, we're about 3 weeks out or so from E3. My question to you good brothers is, this year with Microsoft, do you guys think they are going to show up to this show? Because everybody, y'all know the meme, wait till E3, wait till the next E3. Well, it's been a lot of years, man, and I still don't think Microsoft has knocked it out the park yet. So with all of these acquisitions that they have, all of these studios, all of these developers that they have, do you guys think that this is finally the year that Xbox is going to give us a home run? And if they don't, will that be a fail? Just want to get you guys' thoughts on that. As always, you guys are absolutely amazing. Thank you guys for the just the incredible content that y'all bring to the table. And with that being said, you guys take care and have a good one. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Keon, thank you so much for the voicemail and for the question. So, do you think it's going to be a home run for this year's E3 digital event, whatever you want to call it? Personally, for me, I think this is usually the time where both companies, all companies actually, they need to start now showing us a roadmap of their plans for the future. So for Xbox, you know, now that they have Bethesda, they have all these studios that have been acquiring throughout the years, start talking about these games that's coming out. They don't have to show everything this year, but yo, get us excited for the future, man. Get other people excited that don't have the product just yet. They're planning to maybe get it this year or in the future. Show us these games that's coming out. Show us Starfield. Show us, you know, plans for Bethesda, plans for all these studios that have been working on the games behind the scenes. Hey, if we're getting something for, you know, we're going to get something from the studios working on Perfect Dark, show, you know, gameplay on that. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of studios, P. You said what, 23 in total?
23.
You said?
Yeah. 23.
23. They don't have to show everything now. Show the most important ones, you know, and then in the future, like Gamescom or maybe an EXO event, which is the 20th anniversary of Xbox, there's another reason to show more content there. And also the Game Awards. So there's going to be different events throughout the year that Xbox has that opportunity to show more and more content. You know, don't show everything just yet. You know, save those big ones too, man, for the future, you know. But it is important for Halo Infinite to get that shine too, man. Get people excited about that game because that's the big one that's coming out later this year. But also show us something that we're going to be excited for the future. You know, PlayStation's been doing that throughout the years, you know, with all these games that have been coming out. And I think that's, in my opinion, the right way to do it. You know what I'm saying? So what about you, Pete? Your thoughts about that?
All right. So what do we know, right? We know Halo Infinite. Obviously, we're going to get gameplay. God willing, we're going to get a release date and hopefully assuage all the fears from last year's or the year before's, actually last year's release. Mm-hmm. Forza Motorsport. I think very, very safe to say we're going to see something else coming for Forza Motorsport. I think we'll see something Senua related. We'll see Hellblade 2 from Ninja Theory. That game was a unmitigated success, in my personal opinion. Everybody loved the last Hellblade, so I have no question we'll see another announcement for that Did this become a Microsoft E3 prediction conversation?
Well, it's not yet. But I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this, Pete. I personally think that I know you mentioned Forza Motorsport. I think that one is not coming out this year. What the rumors is, we might see a new Horizon game, which I'm more of a Horizon than Motorsport, is coming out later this year, and that one's going to take place. Mexico, again, allegedly. Rumors, allegedly. Mexico, yeah, which I think is a perfect location for that, right? Just make sure the soundtrack is amazing. That's all. And also, another thing too, again, I know this because it's been confirmed now from Sega, but Phantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis is coming out sometime in June. So it is possible that that Xbox might just announce the date when it's coming out in June, or we might hear something like it's available right now during the press conference, something like that, right? So those two, looks like it looks official now for that. Like you said, also Halo Infinite. Everything else is just a mystery, man. Everything else. We're not going to see Fable. I think we're not going to see anything Fable just yet because I think it's too early. Too early.
So I was going to say that. So I was going to mention Fable. We know that there's a title, right? It's just Fable, right? But whether we're going to see any introductory gameplay, are we going to see anything related to that, whether it's just a teaser title card at the front, maybe that's how they cap off the show, right? Just a little quick 5 second pan of the title. Do we think we're going to see more services added to games to Game Pass? And do you think it's needed? Do you need to add something like Ubisoft Plus to Games Pass? Kind of like the link that they've done in the past, where they've gotten like little things with other game launchers. Do you think they do something with Ubisoft or another third party game service?
Now, I don't know if we're going to hear an announcement from them that during the press conference. I have no idea. And I don't know if Ubisoft will do the same. But if Microsoft, here's the thing. If Microsoft is going to show all these games that's coming out in the future for the console, for the platform, right? They need to show all those games that's coming out, say, available on Game Pass, available on Game Pass. Push it as much as possible, more than ever, and show those big AAA games or even AA games or even indie games that's coming out for Game Pass. You know, I can see that. I definitely see Ubisoft being part of Game Pass, similar to EA. I just don't see Microsoft and Ubisoft announcing it during E3. I don't see that happening. I think this will be more of like a press release, post, something like that, Xbox Wire, and also on Ubisoft websites. I think something like that, but not during the digital event. I don't see that happening, in my opinion. I'm thinking what other games that it should definitely show. Look, I want to know what's up with Tunic. Is that game coming out this year? I've been waiting for that game for years already. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's another game that they should definitely show at the digital conference. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that game is amazing.
Yeah. Age of Empires or a new Flight Sim update?
Yes, there haven't been no update of that. That's another thing that where we could see something like, okay, the game is coming out this summer, so it might be sometime like August, right? Right before the craziness begins later this year with the holiday games. I think that's the perfect time to release those games. Now, show the games that – I think the majority of the conference is going to be games that is coming out either early next year or holiday of next year. Anything futuristic, like in the future, it might be something like – like how we got to see Fable and Perfect Dark and all these announcements, right? We might see a couple of those throughout the press conference. I just don't see Xbox saying, here's Perfect Dark. Here's the gameplay. Like, I feel like it's too early for those type of games, man. You know? So
I have one other thing that I think might be announced.
Which one?
xCloud PC.
It's already out already. You haven't used xCloud at all for PC? I've been using it.
It's not available in Switzerland. Not available in Switzerland.
But it's here in the States. It's been out.
Yes, it's there in the States, but not everybody plays in the States. You can't think of just NA just as the only place on Earth.
Look, they need to release that also for Latin America. That not all Latin America has xCloud.
That's why I'm saying it has to be a full global announcement of xCloud for PC.
Mm-hmm. Well, they need servers over there, right? That's that's all they need over there to make it official. Because I think it's available now for the UK.
It's yeah. Microsoft. You own Azure Cloud Gaming. You own yeah. the Azure Cloud. Why is it that difficult? Should it be that difficult?
Well, we'll see. I think that I can see that happening. Announcing more countries available with xCloud. And yeah, I can definitely see that. Definitely see that. This is not a prediction show. This is just talk.
No, I know. Yeah. No. We're just key on ass, so we're delivering.
Yeah. So anything else from the digital press conference side, Pete? Is there anything else? I think I would love... Oh, by the way, is there going to be an update for Cuphead? Yo, my nephew was 6 years old when they announced the DLC coming up for that game. It's been years.
He's How old is he now?
9 or 10 now. It's been a while. Where
is this DLC, Aaron?
Yeah, no, it's not. Aaron has nothing to do with that. That's the studio more than anything.
I know. I'm teasing. I'm just the only reason I said that is because you and I were with him when we did the interview with him at E3 last time, and we talked about the story, and he loved it, and he brought that up during our conversation. So I'm just teasing, Aaron. You know I love you. We're just joking. But of course, where's our DLC?
Yes.
Where's our DLC
now? I wonder what Microsoft should do. Okay, in your opinion, once we're gonna get to see more about Halo Infinite, do you think Microsoft should show the campaign again and show the new look, or show the multiplayer of the game, but now also with new graphics, new look, and everything? That one is gonna be free to the public. I would want, this is something that I would like to see, Pete, is Microsoft could say something, hey, we are going to show you the gameplay footage of the campaign, but hold on. Everybody that has Xbox Game Pass, PC and Xbox, and also mobile, you could be part of the Halo Infinite multiplayer beta coming out this summer, exclusively only for Game Pass subscribers. Do you see that happening? I can see it.
Just to be the counter, I'm going to say no.
Just no? Oh my God. Chat, listeners, please let me know.
Just to be argumentative.
Back me up. Who would like to see it? I would like to see
that. Just to be argumentative, I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Because Paris isn't here, so somebody's got to keep you in check.
Oh God. See, hey man, I would love to see that. I would like to see that. Now, one more game that I would like to see, and I know it's not gonna happen, but hey, let me dream. So, next year is the 20th anniversary of Jet Set Radio Future that came out for the original Xbox. I would love to see an announcement from some Sega. Now, Sega said that they are bringing back Jet Set Radio, Crazy Taxi, and like all their old IPs, they're bringing it back. We don't know if it's a new game or it's a reboot, remaster. We have no idea. Years ago, and I mentioned this too on the show, there was a poll of what from Sega to the fans, what games they would like to see to bring back, right? And Jet Set Radio was number one. Mm. Number one. This was like 4 or 5 years ago that this happened. Ever since then, it's been quiet, right? This would be an opportunity for Sega and also Microsoft to announce the return of Jet Set Radio, or also have Jet Set Radio Future available for downloadable day one, and have that partnership where that game is exclusive for Xbox. The reason I say that is because there is a long history with Jet Set Radio for Xbox and Sega. It was exclusive also for the original console that came out back in 2000 and, oh my God, the early 2000s. So this is an opportunity for them to announce, look, the return of Jet Set Radio, just like do a teaser and that's it. Just get people hyped. I think that would be amazing if they could do something like that, man. You know, that's me because I'm a huge fan of Jet Set Radio. But I know there's like millions of other people that they are huge fans too. But I can see that happening, man. You know, Bayonetta is exclusive for Nintendo Switch. There's been games that come out throughout the years on PlayStation and it's only exclusive with Sega and them, right, with Sony. Mm-hmm. This is the opportunity for Sega to do the same thing with Microsoft. And look, if you notice, Yakuza, Fanny Star Online, Streets of Rage was also a Game Pass there too. Not exclusive, but it's been there. Fanny Star Online, I mentioned, that's an exclusive for Xbox and PC here in the States. So it is possible we might see something cool because the relations have been strong with both companies. You know what I'm saying? So when
we know there was a potential deal. They were talking. There were negotiations about a potential acquisition. Would we see Sonic?
I think that game is going to be multiplat. I just don't see that as an exclusive. I don't see it. Maybe Game Pass, but I don't see that as like an exclusive exclusive. I don't see that. I don't see that at all. Do you see that, Pete? I don't. That would be insane if they do that.
I'm just throwing it out there because, like you said, we know that the friendship between the relationship between the two companies is strong, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We know that Microsoft is always supporting that.
Yeah.
We know that there was potential conversation, there was a possible conversation between acquisitions of that before the whole, before the acquisition of ZeniMax. We know that everybody's rumored company was Sega.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? You know, we've seen it already with a bunch of their other flagship titles. Why not do it with the flagship of flagship titles for Sega?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Persona will be a very big, huge surprise if that's announced during the digital showcase with that. Either it's coming out, it's going to be on Game Pass. I could see that happening too. I could definitely see that. That would be huge. And actually, Xbox needs to have more JRPGs available for the service too to get people excited. Because look, we have a lot of Western RPGs, which is cool and all, but there's a crowd that just love that JRPG, man. Are we going to see Final Fantasy Remake now available on Xbox? That could be an opportunity for Square Enix and also Microsoft to announce it during the digital showcase. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could see that. I could definitely see that, you know? So we're going to wrap it up here, Pete, because we went over here. But is there anything else? Can I have a couple of things to say before we wrap it up? But you want to say anything else? Mirren?
No, I think we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
I'll leave my thoughts on other things to myself.
We got to save the predictions, man, for the future, right?
Yeah.
I may have already
shot my load on this
one. Well, starting next week, I think we should do predictions. So we could start with Ubisoft next week. You want to do that? Because that was the first one that was announced for the date, right? So might as well go with that. All right. By the way, I just want to say thank you to everybody that attended my Bright session, Podcasting 101. The series that I have now, I'm going to be doing multiple throughout the year. Every month, I'm going to have a brand new one. So the last one was a huge success. I got to see the reviews from people that attended. It's been high praise. Like, it was really good, really good. I can't wait for the next one. What I'm going to do is, for the next one, I'm really going to be focusing on building your community, because a lot of the people that were there at my first session, they were asking a lot of questions about, like, how can I market this and how can I market my show? How can I get listeners and et cetera? So one thing that I mentioned, which shout out to Tony from Throwdown, you know, I gave some examples of like how my advice helped his show, and his show listenership tripled because of the advice that I gave him. You know what I'm saying? So and he even made some changes the day before my Bright session, because I also gave him more advice. And he talked about it during the session. And people were like, you see everybody just taking notes. So if you would like to be part of my next session, if you're an upcoming content creator, podcaster, make sure to go to my profile. I'm going to put the link under the description and just connect with me. And once I have a brand new session, I have the date, everything available, you will get an update via email once it's going to go live. You know what I'm saying? Like once the tickets is available. So shout out to the Bright team for helping me out. It was a huge, huge success. The reviews has been amazing. Everybody loved it. And I can't wait for the next one, man. So make sure to join. All right. So we're going to wrap it up here. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. Make sure to share the content. You also can find us on any podcast app. Just doesn't matter which app you have. Put Gamertag Radio. We're there. Subscribe, follow us, post your review. Also, if you'd like to be part of our FanMail questions, which I need questions. Guys, I need questions for my solo episodes later this week. Send it in. I'll make it happen. Here's how you contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for watching and also listening to episode 1129. Stay tuned for more content coming out in the future. And we have some games that we're not allowed to talk about that we've been playing for the past couple of weeks. We're going to talk about it on the future episode of Gamer Tag Radio. So until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.